Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, this is Dr. John Stamey, and I want to welcome everybody to the one, the only Scarycast. We've got a great show tonight. We've got great co-hosts and lots of, and we're just all friends, and we're back again talking. We're waiting on a tardy friend or two, but that's okay. At least we're glad we're all here. So first, I would like to introduce the queen of Scarycast. There can only be one queen, the one, the only, Robin Haynes McCray. How are you doing tonight, Robin?
I am good. Excited about this show tonight.
Well, you should be. You brought our guest to us, and we want to thank you. And
yeah, he's awesome.
the longest running co-host, I used to be able to say West Hollywood, but now we have to say beautiful, sunny Pasadena, is Devin Tate. How are you doing tonight, Devin?
I'm doing so good, John. So much has happened since the last time I talked to you all. So Sacramento, though, not Pasadena. But yes,
very sunny.
Very sunny Sacramento, but happy to be here with you all.
We are so glad you're here, and thank you for correcting me. So anyway, I know you got a new job, and I'm sure you're being wonderful at it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a big change, but it was time.
Well, that's good. Well, we're so glad to have you. And from Houston, Texas, the farthest most outpost of Scarycast tonight, one and only Kyler Smith. How are you doing tonight, Kyler?
I am in a great mood right now. I finally got everything fixed that I need to get done. So I'm now getting to relax and jump on here with you guys.
That's great. Well, we're glad to have you here. We're expecting another couple of co-hosts, but that's okay. Then, oh, my goodness. And
I snuck in on you, John.
I must say that we are delighted to have the Surgeon General of Scarycast, Mark, our guest. We have a Surgeon General, and we're proud of him, and it is the one and only Trey Dunaway. How are you doing, Dr. Trey?
I'm doing great, John. Happy to be here.
We are glad you're here with us. So tonight, we have a guest named Mark Holt, and he comes to us from Robin McCray because Robin knows him. And she spoke very highly of him. So what I'm going to do, Robin, is I'm going to turn it over to you for a minute or two and tell us about Mark Holt, and then Mark will start talking to you. So, Robin, tell us a little bit about Mark Holt, this dude from Indiana who seems pretty darn cool. I talked with him for quite a while this afternoon, so he's a great guy. So tell us all about him.
Well, I don't want to give out too much because I want that to come from Mark, but I met Mark probably within the last, I don't know, 6-8 months, I think it was. I don't even remember the exact date. And from the first time I met him, I found him to be very honest, very truthful, very open-minded on this topic. And as everybody that, you know, watches the show knows, I talk to the Bigfoots, I read the energy off the Bigfoots. They like him. They like him a lot. And I think that even if he doesn't realize how close they get to him, they do come up quite close to him, quote. But I think the thing about Mark that I find more refreshing than with other researchers is just his openness. You know, he'll be the first one to say, I just want to learn, you know, which is what all of us are doing. There is nobody out there that knows it all. God knows I don't. And we learn every day. Every time we have contact with them, we learn. Every time we go out in the woods, we learn. You know, we learn from each other. And that's the great thing about Mark is when you talk to him, it becomes a conversation between two people. It's not just, you know, I work with a lot of people, and a lot of times I feel like I'm just saying the same thing over and over again because people are asking me the same things, and that's fine. I never mind it, and it doesn't bother me in the least. But when I talk to Mark, it's like old home week, and you have these conversations, and it goes back and forth, so it's not one-sided. And it's just very refreshing for me. And then he's highly intelligent, and he is able to pick up on things in situations when out in the woods that I don't think other researchers would pick up. Because it's, the thing with the Bigfoot and the Dogman and any of the cryptids, everything is subtle. It's so subtle, it's easy to miss everything. I miss stuff all the time, and you go back and you rethink it, or you look at photos, and you look at these photos over and over again. And he's got some really good photos. He has been very, very kind and blessed Pat and I with the being able to look at some of these photos, and they're all really impressive. Some of the things that he gets in them, I think, are really something to take notice of. And when I found out he was in Indiana, the first thing I said was, oh, my gosh, you got to talk to my husband, because that's where he started out, was Indiana. And now Pat and Mark have gotten to be really good friends. So he's just been a blessing to our family as far as the friendship. And it's, again, so refreshing to talk to somebody that's in this field of research, that if Mark tells me something, I can take it to the bank. He doesn't make stuff up. He doesn't embellish. He's honest. He's legitimate. And he's just an all-around really good person. That's why I suggested the show for him, because that's more of the people that we need in this research. You know, he's not afraid to say, hey, I don't know what this is. What are your thoughts on it? Or say, no, I know what this is. So it's great. Like I said, when Pat and I have conversations with him, it's not just a one-sided thing. It's back and forth, and we can learn from him, and he can learn from us. And it's just very enjoyable. But I don't want, you know, he needs to be the one to tell you about his experiences, so I don't want to do that. But as far as that, that's the kind of person he is. And I just think that he's just a really good person to have in this field.
Well, that's great. And now, Mark, thank you for being with us. And you are from what part of Indiana are you from?
Well, I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana, born and raised on the southeast side. And Robin, I got to say thank you very much. I don't know what else to say about that. you're very kind and generous with your words there. But
we love you, Mark.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. God bless you. I grew up here in Indiana, and this is where I've been for, you know, pretty much most of my adult life.
And so when did you get interested in Bigfoot research? What said to you, I want to look at this? I think this might be important. So how did that happen?
I, believe it or not, about, 4 or 5 years ago, I don't know the time frame. It's just been a whirlwind, you know. You know how it goes. But about a few years back, I was, you know, I've always been an outdoorsman and everything, and so to speak, and always like hiking and doing nature photography and just being out on my own out there. And one day I was going down through a forest, and I saw these guys. I had been out taking pictures, and I saw a footprint on a trail that I actually helped make. It's a trail. It's about 42 miles long, and I said, man, that's really kind of strange. So I took this photograph with my phone, and I started looking at it, and something bothered me about it. You know, because number one, the footprint was at least twice the size of my 12-4E. And I started looking, and it just kind of hit me that I needed to, being that you know, I used to hunt with my dad when I was younger, I started kind of looking at how things were laying on the ground and just where the footprint was, and to look back for like a game trail. And I noticed that there was another footprint that I could see, and 3 feet behind it, and then 3 feet in front of it, which would have been the right foot on top of some roots. So I kind of looked at the whole general area and was kind of just looking and thinking about it in my mind, what could have caused this and everything. I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. So as I went on my way, after I got back to my vehicle and saw that this there was a group of folks doing Sasquatch investigation. So I checked them out, and I said, well, hey, what's going on? You know, I asked them what, you know. And they said, well, we investigate Bigfoot. And I said, really? And they're like, yeah. And I go, well, tell me more about that. And so the guy goes, are you serious? And I was like, yeah. And so he took me to the head of the group and everything, and I talked to this gentleman, and we got to talk. I said, well, do you mind if I tell you a couple stories? And I started talking to this gentleman, and he says, wait just a minute. I want somebody else there. So there's like four or five, maybe six of us sitting there, and I was telling them about stories that I had had before I knew that there were groups out there. So it got me intrigued and everything, and it wasn't long after that that I really didn't get serious with this group because I just not really sure if I wanted to get involved in this. Well, me and a buddy of mine named Charlie were camping in the same campground, and he's like, and I got somebody I want you to meet, because I got down there late and set up my camp, and I said, well, I'm going to go for a walk. And I went back to where I saw that footprint and didn't see anything else, but still took pictures. So I come back, and he's like, yeah, that guy's back, and I want you to come down here and meet him. So I got to talking with the gentleman. His name is Matt McGuire, and he's with Bigfoot in Indiana. And even though that I have my own Facebook page and Instagram, Squatch in Indiana, and YouTube channel, I'm still part of Bigfoot in Indiana with Matt McGuire. And I got to talking with Matt, and me and Matt just hit it off, his sincerity and everything. But what really kind of got me interested in this, John, was thinking back with talking with Matt and everything, you know, the things that him and I shared. But in 1996, I saw my first Sasquatch in deep southern Indiana in Harrison Crawford State Forest. And I was going down to do some trail service on the American Discovery Trail. Which back then I was an avid hiker and stuff. And I had volunteered to do some trail service through the Hoosier Hikers Council. And I was down there by myself, and I was allowed to go back on the service road. And so I, you know, had opened the gate and everything and had access to unlock it. And I was driving down the service road, and I look as I'm going around this hairpin curve, and I'm going real slow because I'm in my 95 Ranger, and this is 1996. And, you know, because I grew up on a farm, I had my window down just like any other country boy would, and just driving real slow not to stir up any dust, and had my arm out, and I see this fox run across the road. And I was like, I'm like, hey, there's a little guy, you know, and he looks at me and is like, eh, you know. And I was like, I'm not going to hurt you. And I thought, wow, that's really neat. As I'm going around this curve, I thought, man, I hope I see another one. Next thing you know, I just kind of peer over to my left as I'm going around this curve, just enjoying the scenery. And there's a set of legs. And on that set of legs is a hairy torso. And on that hairy torso is a big, hairy chest. And what sits on top of that is a big, hairy face. And next thing, and I'm sitting here looking at this thing, and I'm like, what the? And before I know it, here comes this big oak tree, I almost hit, and I stop, you know, come to a, you know, in this gravel. And this thing is like, like, he, you know, he's sitting there like, uh-oh, I'm a tree. Oh, crap, he saw me. And he turns to his left and goes through the thicket, you know, like dime, nickel, quarter-sized thicket like it was butter and just took off down into this ridge and back up the ridge like it was nothing. And I just sat there in bewilderment thinking, what the heck was that? You know, and I remember as a young kid watching all these, you know, the Wonderful World of Disney and Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom and all this stuff and seeing all this and just hearing reports of things out west and stuff, you know, and I'm thinking, this is Indiana. We don't have that sort of stuff here. And so when I got home, I talked to my dad, and I said, Dad, what's the weirdest thing you ever saw when, you know, out hunting? Because my dad was an avid coon hunter, and he made a lot of money with pelts and stuff back in the 70s. And early on, you know, he's from Kentucky. I was like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, what's the weirdest thing you ever seen out there in the woods? He's like, describe weird. I said, I don't know, say on 2 feet, about maybe 7-8 feet tall. He told me, don't ever talk about that to anybody. He says, they'll lock you up because they'll think you're crazy. And I kept it to myself and kind of suppressed it. And because I thought, you know, maybe I'm just imagining this. Maybe I'm, you know, it's just, you know, maybe it was a football player or a basketball player or some, you know, guy that's just really big that doesn't want to be recognized by people living out in the woods like that, you know. And the next thing I know, years later, I meet these people, and this is, you know, there's actual people who investigate the Sasquatches out there. And so that's now that I've kind of, it's kind of sparked an interest in me that I've actually seen these things and are these people, and I call them people. And the more that I get into it, as Pat and Robin says, I find all kinds of traces of them out there. I mean, you're not always going to run into things. You know, they're pretty elusive, and I can understand why. But I've had several encounters with them since or maybe before that, since 96 that I know of. I've actually nudged over. I don't want to say push, but I've been nudged over, and I feel like they're laughing at me.
Well, that's amazing. That's an amazing
story. They do all of us.
I'm sorry, Robin. Would you say that again? I didn't quite hear what you said.
I said sometimes they think they laugh at all of us. I know they laugh at us over here a lot. But, you know, everybody's out in the woods when they're out there. You know, they're looking to see a Bigfoot. And the whole time the Bigfoots are out in the woods looking to see us. Partly because they're curious and partly because they don't trust us. So when we're looking for them, they're looking for us.
And it's funny because I go out, when I do my investigating, I go out, and always, you know, and Robin, you and I have spoke about this, about doing mind speak. And it's something that I'm not really sure of, but when I go out there, I just in my mind tell them that, hey guys, I'm here. You know, I'm hoping to maybe see something really cool that you've done. You know, I'm not here to hurt you or your family or bring harm to any of your friends or anything. I just want to come out here and see what you've done, and if there's anything I can learn, you know, if you want to talk to me, that would be okay with me, you know, if you think I'm ready for that. But I'd like to just see something really cool that you guys have done. And believe it or not, when I go out there with a really, you know, because I have some friends that go, oh man, you better pack a firearm. You better, you better do this, and you better, you know, I wouldn't be going out there looking for those things because you never know what you might find. And because I am a lawful firearm owner here in the state of Indiana, and I have my license to carry, you know, I always tell them, say, hey, guys, I have my firearm with me. It's not for you. I know you know what that is. Trust me, it's not for you or for your family.
Can I interject something really quick? And I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mark. I think this is important, and I really just want to point this out for the listeners. This is why I love Mark, okay? Mark is doing it the right way. So many people go out in the woods and they think, oh, they aren't going to notice if I carry a gun. They always notice, okay? They know before you even get out of the car that you have it. But when Mark, and I want to point this out for people so that they know when they go out in the woods the correct way to handle it, exactly to the letter what Mark just stated. He spoke to them in his mind. You can do it verbally, but when you do the mind speak, it goes out farther. So you can do both, or you can pick whatever works for you. He let them know he was there in peace. He asked permission to be taught things. He let them know about the gun. When you do these things, there's no surprises for them, and it speaks volumes to them. It goes back to what I have preached about on here like a preacher. You want positive contact, not negative. Negative will get you nothing but trouble. Positive will give you a lifetime of experiences. So I just wanted to point out to everybody, not just because, you know, I suggested Mark as a guest, but the reason I did was because of the way he does things. So for the people that are out there and that are learning and wanting to know how to go out and connect, this is how you do it. Exactly what he did. That's the correct way. You're putting boundaries. You say, you know, I want you to, I'm open to being out here with you in a positive way. I mean, you know, harm. You know, this gun is here. Yes, it's for protection of other things other than you. I would like permission from you to be able to teach me things. Exactly what he did. So I'll shut up now. But I just, while he said that, it's such an important point, I think, for people that are trying to get into this field of research to know this.
I'm not trying to advocate, you know, that people should you know, carry or anything like that. But there are things and people out there who could, you know, are out there to possibly harm other individuals, and we don't want that. And we want to come back home to our friends and family safe. And obviously, you know, you know,
there's
and I don't,
out there that
I, you know, if you,
worse
if you feel
part.
Like, you, right, and if you feel like you need, I'm just going to say this much, if you feel like you need to carry, you know, then take the training and the time to learn how to use a firearm properly and take a couple of courses and and go to a local range and learn how to use it safely and properly and know your local laws and everything. Don't just think that you can just go out there, buy one and load it and you're good. No, don't do that. You know, be smart, be safe, but also be smart and safe for other folks and for our tall, fuzzy friends too. So, I know, speaking of, you know, going back, I remember, it was about, so my first one was in 96, John. And then the next one experience that I had was, I think it was in 98 or 99. I was down in the same area. And me and a buddy of mine was backpacking. And I was in my tent. My buddy was in his tent. Well, it was early on October morning. And it was kind of frosty, and something shook my tent, and I was like, "What'd you do that for, you jackass?" And he's like, "I got frost all on the inside of the tent," and you know, he's like, "I didn't shake your tent." I go, "Whatever, where are you?" You know, I'm like hollering at, you know, we're out there in the woods, and I said, "I know you shook it," you know. But he's like, "No, I didn't. I'm in my tent." And I unzipped my tent because I heard him run by, you know, I thought he's playing, you know, playing tricks or whatever. And he was in his tent, in his sleeping bag, birthday suit. That's all I'm going to say. And I was like, well, who just ran by? And he goes, well, maybe it was Bigfoot. And I was like, ha, 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 very funny, whatever. So they're very comical, and they like to play stuff, you know. And it's and I look back now, and it was might have been the same one that I saw, you know, because when I saw that one, the first one that I know of, when he went down into the ravine and come up the ridge, I was reaching up for in my truck, I was reaching up for my face to rub my face, like, what in the heck am I seeing? And I don't know, in looking back, he turned and, like, he raised his hand. He looked back to see what I was doing, and he raised his hand. Like, I guess he thought I was waving at him. And I don't know why I can see this in my mind, but I could see him raising his hand, like, to say, hey, you know, because he thought I was raising my hand. Like the old, you know, Indian way of showing there's nothing in my hand to hurt you. You know, I'm here in peace. And he raised his big hairy arm, and he disappeared over the ridge. And that was the last I saw of him. And that was, you know, first time I'd ever seen one. And, you know, it just, since I've ran into people that investigate them, that a lot more things are starting to come back. I've been hit in the neck with an acorn. That's really funny. I was relieving myself out in the woods, and one of them
that's great.
That tossed an acorn at me and hit me in the neck.
I tell you what, Mark, again. We've got some good co-hosts that I'm sure have some questions for you. First of all, I'll ask Dr. Trey Donaway, do you have any questions for Mark? And then we'll, after Trey, we'll talk to Devin, and then we'll talk to Kyler.
Mark, have you had any communications with the feet?
Yes, I've. Now, let me explain. When I say yes, my first video that I did on my, it's not on tape or anything. When I did my first YouTube video, I asked if it was okay before I shot my video. I said, "Look, I'm going to shoot this video, guys, and I know you probably know what a video is, but I want to do my best." And I tried to explain to him and everything. And I asked him if it was okay. I said, "If it's okay with you, can I have a whoop?" Because I've heard a whoop before. It's not like anything I've ever heard. I've heard a whistle. I said, or a tree knock, if that's okay with you. Can I, if it's one of these things, can I have it if it is okay to shoot this video? Because I was going to shoot a video on this X that a friend of mine, my buddy Matt, showed to me. And that was going to make that my first video. And so I also play Native American flute, and I play a blue bear flute from Tennessee. And before I could, I played, so I asked, so, okay, now I'm going to play the flute a little bit longer. And if I don't hear anything from you guys, I'm going to go ahead and shoot the video, but I'd rather have permission. So I played the flute. When I was done, I put it in my car, in my vehicle. And as soon as I shut the door, I no more took a step to turn that I got a wood knock. And I stopped dead in my feet. And out of my peripheral vision, it could have been a gray squirrel, but I don't think it was, because it was deadly quiet out there where I was at. And so I took that as permission as to go ahead. You know, but I also felt that you can do this, but mind your manners. So that makes sense.
That's very well put. That certainly makes sense. And Trey, that was a really good question, because I guess, and I never thought about this, but in the UFO world, we have, you know, the close encounters of the first through the sixth kind, and you experienced a close encounter of the fifth kind when they were actually speaking back to you. And in fact, that's something that I think we need to probably explore just a little bit. I'm working on a story right now with a friend who's had a close encounter of the fifth kind where they actually spoke to him. And that's, of course, Logan Gardner, who's, I think he's been on here before. He'll be on here again. And we're working on a good version of his story for version 3.0 of Look Up in the Sky. So, you know, I think anytime you can categorize and bring some type of, you know, explanation to what you're talking about in terms of communication or whatever, I mean, that's important. The more we can identify it, the more we can state it's this and it's not necessarily that. So, I mean, I think the more we can understand this and try to give it some decent scientific labels, the better off we are. And Mark, do you agree with that?
Well, I highly agree with that. I mean, you know, if you can elevate your, and that's something I'm wanting to, at least, you know, as long as they're allowing me to communicate, elevate your communication to understand and learn, you know, I don't have a problem with that, as long as it doesn't put you at risk as a human being.
Right. And Trey, I think all that came from your great question. Mark, did you have any communication? And the idea is we can categorize Bigfoot communication maybe in some of the same ways that they talk about ET communication. And Robin, that's something I'd like to discuss with you tomorrow. Are you okay with that?
Oh, sounds good.
If I may
elaborate on what Trey was asking me, it wasn't so much I've heard communication, and it wasn't so much directed at me. I've actually heard one vocalize somebody's name. I was at a camp out with Squatch Man Greg Yost, and I've actually heard one vocalize Greg's name, and I'm telling you what, you hear one vocalize a person's name, it's definitely different. And
no,
and me and Greg got to talking about it, and he's asked me, well, what do you think? You know, I said, he's probably upset. And I'm just guessing, you know, because I don't know why I can just feel it. I said, I think he's upset about something. He's like, well, what do you think he's upset about? And I told him that Eugene had put some powder, baby powder, around the gifting stump, because he had this big tray of everything that a fat guy would love. You know, donuts and peeled bananas and apples and fruit pies and just everything, you know, and Twinkies. and he just looked at Eugene, and Eugene hung his head and goes, yeah, I know. You know, and I don't know anything about this stuff. I'm like, man, they're not going to come up and take any of this stuff. He goes, why? I go, because you're trying to trick them. I said, I'd be kind of upset with them too. So later on that night, we heard him call his name out. And I said, I bet that's what that's about. And sure enough, they never did touch the gifting tray, but nothing else in the forest did either. So
they
that's kind of interesting.
They don't let them because we had years ago, had a feeding area that I would feed them in. It was like 70 feet off the end of my house. And they had all kinds of stuff out there and different things I kept the food in so the other animals wouldn't get it. And they had three raccoons. And every night, these raccoons would come from the same direction that the Bigfoot came. They would come in. They'd inspect all the food. They never took a bite. None of the three ever took a bite. The biggest one would go to the top of the tree, scream towards the direction that the Bigfoots would come in. They'd come down the tree, and all three would go off the other way. They never touched it. If they thought it was for the Bigfoots and it was food for them, there was not one thing in that woods that would go near it.
Yeah.
Like, they used mind control.
Yeah.
Nope.
I believe it.
That's what it did at my place.
Not a bird, not a squirrel, not a possum,
nope.
Nothing touched that food, that tray. So.
But everything is telepathic. I mean, all that stuff is telepathic. Animals are. And so you're talking about a being that is extremely telepathic and can do severe damage if it wants to, but it, I mean, primarily wants to live in peace, but if necessary, it can be very damaging, and nothing's going to mess with it. They know if that's theirs, they ain't touching it. It's crazy.
Okay. Well, that's some great commentary, Robin, and thank you very much. Devin, do you have a question for our guest?
Well, yes. You had mentioned UFOs, and, you know, I also grew up on a farm in the Midwest, so I know, you know, what the skies are like, and you're always looking up and seeing things in the sky. So I just wondered if you had had any experiences or noticed any correlation between Bigfoot and UFOs, like maybe if you see a sighting, incidents happen at the same time or same place roughly. Just wondering if you've had experience with that.
Well, that's funny you should ask me this, because I sent John a picture earlier today that I had sent to Les Stroud, because I'm not really sure, and Robin probably knows what I'm talking about. It's off of a graveyard, and there's a whole story about this that I think I've seen an UFO, while out camping, because nothing comes across the sky, stops, and then shoots up straight up, and then shoots over to another direction. You know, I just can't, you know, unless somebody's got a really, really nice drone out there. But, there's just some things that I can't explain that I've seen in the night sky. I think I have a buddy of mine that's tuning in. He just chimed in on Messenger. He's retired out of the Air Force, and he's like, oh, yeah. So I definitely believe in UFOs and stuff. But I've never had that experience, except for I was out with the camera, with the picture taking, and I was when I found that first footprint, I didn't know. I was just taking a picture of this giant X in this on the backside of this graveyard, and it's just east of IU or Bloomington, Indiana. And I was just taking a picture to show to a buddy of mine. This is what, you know, when I say an X, this is what I'm talking about. So I had taken this picture, and I sent it to him. And he's actually had experience with a UFO. Him and his dad had down in southern Indiana. He sent the picture back to me and said, what's up in the tree watching you? And there's clearly something up there. And I've sent it to a couple of other people. Robin and Pat have looked at it. And Robin, do you know the picture I'm talking about?
I'm trying to remember which one it is. I've looked at a bunch of them. You've got some really good photos.
It's the one in the with the graveyard and over to the top left corner. I circled what that thing is up, or whatever that is up in the tree.
I think I remember that one because we were trying to decide what exactly it was. I think I'm trying to remember. I read the energy on it to get it. I can't remember what it was. I have to pull it again.
You thought it might have been a hybrid or something, but anyway, this thing looks like a giant cicada. And Devin, I'm telling you what, this thing is freaky looking. And I had a lot of people said, you got a picture. That's a piece of branch. And I'm like, no, it's not. And then some people say, that's a deer up in a tree because a bobcat or a puma put that. I'm like, no, it's too high up in the tree. There's no reason to go that high up in the tree, for a bobcat or a puma, I'm like, I don't believe that. And I've had, I just said, and Les Stroud, I didn't think he'd ever contact me, but he's like, I need you to go back down there and take a picture of that area. And send me back that picture, and I'll be anxious to see. And I was like, well, I appreciate that, Mr. Stroud. I said, and blah blah blah. And I went back down there, and like he asked me, and what I found was that area had been highly devastated by, and I quote, unrecorded high winds. And what I mean by that is when I got back into phone range, because it's kind of a dead spot area. It's kind of funny. One side of the state forest, you have no cell reception, but where there's power lines, you do. Imagine that. So I had called Bloomington, Indiana, and I called a couple of newscast places, and I wanted to talk to the meteorologist, if that was possible. And says, well, this, one of the guy that answered the phone says, well, this is actually him. And I said, well, so I got a question. I said, I only thought there were only 3 to 5 mile gusts of winds and everything. And they're like, there was. And I said, where are you at? What are you talking about? And I said, well, you need to come over here to, and I don't want to give away this area, so please forgive me. But and you need to come over here to such and such cemetery over here at State Forest. I said, in the woods here, I said, because looks like straight winds have come through here, and there is a large amount of damage just in this one spot right here. And so where I had taken that picture at, it looks like something come through there and just totally annihilated. I mean, we're talking big, humongous oak trees. There were some gravestones from the 1800s that had been damaged. But that giant X that I'm talking about is no longer there. And it just looks like something come through there and ripped everything apart. And that tree, that it's only half of it still there, whatever that was up in the... To me, it looks like something like a... And please forgive me for saying it like this. It looks like a ship backed up and turned its thrusters on and just blew everything apart. And it was scattered all over that graveyard and parking lot there. So in that parking lot, it's part of a trailhead of that trail that I actually helped make back in the late 90s. And also where I saw my first big footprint. So whatever's up in that tree, I'm not real sure. So, but there's also another part of the story that I'd like to tell later on about my first time I ever met Greg Yost that happened up that trail. So does that answer your question, or?
Yes, thank you so much for talking with us and telling us your stories. I really enjoy it.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure.
Definitely, that was a great answer. And Kyler, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah. You were talking about how they're with your tent story. You said they were really playful, they'll just go back and forth and kind of play with you a little bit. So have you ever tried to, maybe play with them back, or is that even possible?
I've the time that I got hit in the neck with a acorn, you know, I kind of just looked, you know, it was night, and I go, and I was like, really? Really, guys? I'm like, you know, I'm trying to, you know, take a leak here, and I don't know why. I could just see him in my mind laughing, you know, and I'm like, that is
that's
not
part
funny.
Of mine, Steve.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, I'm not, that's uncool. Okay, just remember that, you know. So I think that one time I was, another time I was camping. It was very early in the morning, and there's this pine grove behind where we put our camp, you know, the tents and everything. And I swear this one come by and pushed me over. You know, I was just being clumsy, and I fell over, and I was like, and I hit the ground, and I was like, oh, and I could just see it in my mind, like it stopped, like, oh, dude, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. I felt like I was nudged over, and I felt like, you know, he kind of felt bad, or maybe it was she, that, you know, it's like, oh, I think I nudged you, maybe it nudged you over too tight or too hard, whatever. And I was like, so I got up, I'm like, I'm fine. I just said, I'm fine. You know, I did lose the tip to my walking staff. And I said, but, you know, no blood, no foul. So, but just remember. So, and, but yeah, I just feel like they, you know, they can be comical at times. I think that they try to, you know, see how what's your limit. And just like anybody else, that want to joke around with you and stuff. And I think they're very intrigued. You know, me and Pat is talking, even Robin, they're intrigued by us. And I think that they sense that, you know, if you go out there with a good heart and a good mind and everything, and I think that's just one of the experiences, you know, that they like to joke around too, possibly, and they just want to see if you're okay with that. So, because they, you know, like just playing, my buddy that I go out squatching with, Matt, that they and they have a serious side too, because we experienced that here just recently. He was out with some folks one night, and I wasn't able to go. And he was talking about they saw three silhouettes of juveniles and an adult in the back, and you could see the red eyes. You know, he was on guard, and I guess one of them had rolled a rock up to, he had some people that wanted to go out for the first time. And so he agreed to, you know, under his rules, that we have sets of rules that we, you know, anytime if somebody's going to go with us, that, you know, like myself, I have some rules that they have to, you know, abide by. So, but anyway, they rolled up a rock towards, you know, a small rock, and they were like, what do we do with it? And he was like, well, you take and you just roll it back. There says they're wanting to play. So, and they did, and that's pretty much all, you know, all they did, and then they left. But as far as I'm concerned, as far as playfulness, the shaking of the – I've had my tent shaken twice. I had my small backpacking tent and my large tent, because by the time I got out of my larger tent, I didn't think anything about it to ask anybody. And I just presume that somebody was just messing around. So I kind of just laughed about it, and that was pretty much it.
Gotcha. That's very, very interesting. And we did want to say thanks to Banana Jack Murphy, WLSC AM and FM, Loris Conway, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We're back on here, of course, Banana Jack every morning at 9 a.m., the Banana Jack Show, followed by Small Town Big Talk with Marshall Lytle, and I'll be on there next week. So it's always a lot of fun. And Robin, I'm gonna turn it over to you because I'd love for you to ask a question.
You know, in all my conversations with Mark, I've never asked him this. How long have you been doing this? I think that's the only one of the few things I've never asked you. Like, how long has this been going on for you?
Well, I got into this about 4 years ago. I mean, really, you know, there for a minute, I quit. I gave it up, and I had pictures. I've had pictures of some really weird structures and things, and I got rid of a lot of them, and I had to walk away. Because it was all I could talk about, and I'm sure people I work with, and I'm sure there are people out there who get it that, you know, they look at you like you're some kind of a nut job, but I had one guy ask me, they go, why do you believe in this stuff? I go, because I've seen them.
Yeah,
I mean, I've not just seen one. I've not just seen three, I've seen four, you know, and here in Indiana, I said, that's kind of a hard concept. It's a very hard thing for anybody to get their head wrapped around. And they've allowed me to see them. And if nothing else, in just saying that, it's to educate people. You know, because I've had a lot of coworkers and folks say, "Well, you should take a picture. You need to get a video. You should bag one and you know." Said I'm like, "That's a very bad idea." And they go, they're always asking me why. I said, "Well, number one, I said I'm not trying to be all that famous. I said I just recently have made the decision not to really follow up on too many videos, you know, even though I have a YouTube channel. I may report on, so the more I'm starting to be out there and see what they're doing and listen to what they might tell me. I really don't want to do videos. I really don't. I mean, I wouldn't want somebody coming in my home and videoing me all the time, and I just, you know, it's not about that. It's, you know, I tell them, I say, if you want to watch videos, I said, watch the Patterson Gimli film or Hunting Bigfoot or those people. Not that I'm trying to disrespect those folks, but I'm just not that person. I'm different, you know. I can tell that I'm different from when I first started, but I got back into it again because I just felt the draw. And when I'd go camping and stuff, it's like I felt something. It's like, you know, it's like I just would. Yeah, I felt that pull. Like, what did we do wrong? You know, it's like, why don't you come out and hang out with us? You know, and it's like, so I'd go out there and I just, you know, sometimes like I'll go out and I have a couple of friends here. You know, my buddy Matt, he's like, oh, I wouldn't go out there by myself. I go, but that's when the cool stuff happens. So I like going out there and sitting. And sometimes I'll, you know, go to the place, you know, a couple of places. I just went to Friday night. My girlfriend and I went, and we found a whole bunch of new structures. Two X's on both sides, on opposite sides of the road of each other. That was crazy. And that one picture that I sent you with the trees, like, kind of in a,
yeah,
like a, yeah, that's new. I've not seen that. And it's, I think it's because they're doing work. they're starting to, they're going to, I think they're going to widen the road or something. I think they're, you know, well, just like the most recent incident about a month ago where that one, it sounded like one coming through the woods like a freight train. And I told my buddy, I said, I'm telling you, it's because of that mountain biking trail that they put through here. I said, they're not happy about that.
Them.
And I wouldn't be either. I wouldn't be either. You know, it's their home. You know, we didn't ask them. So, but I've been doing this for about 4 years, and the more I'm getting into it, the more I'm trying to learn, the less I'm leaving at home. I'm leaving more stuff, or excuse me, the less I'm bringing with me. I mean, I like taking pictures of the footprints and the structures, because I look at it, and I know they're communicating in whatever it is, and that's what I, one of the things I want to learn is what are they trying to tell us as human beings, but are they trying to tell me something too? And but I also look at it as art. I just really appreciate what they do because they're just phenomenal engineers, and I just, but I also want to be respectful too. Because I know it's just not the foot. I know there's some dog men out there, and I want to be respectful of their area and their young ones. Because I've found prints, you know, not dog men, but I think I have one dog man print, and which is pretty good size. And
yep.
But I found Bigfoot. I found an adult and a adolescent, mm-hmm. if not a, you know, a juvenile, next to each other, prints. And so I want to be respectful of their family and everything, and not, you know, if they allow me to get close, that's cool. But I want to respect those boundaries that they set up for me.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, you end up building a good relationship with them. So
you know, you Pat showed me some pictures of a dog man, and that's just kind of, to me, that's kind of terrifying. but also,
yeah.
You know, I know that they, I want to, you know, if they're as intelligent as I think they are as the foot, I want to make sure that, you know, I'm respectful of them too. I don't want them to think that, here's Mr. Snack. No, that's not going to happen. But you know, let's not go there, guys, because you're going to cause a problem, you know, with humans and stuff. But and we don't want that. And you know, but I also want to be protective too. And that's why I have a lot of people ask me, well, hey, where do you go and where'd you see this at? And I don't tell people where I go invest. I mean, I can tell you guys, you know, but I wouldn't tell it on air or nothing because, you know, I'm just really kind of protective of them. I had I was on one podcast for the life, I'm having a senior moment. You were on his show recently, doggone it, Aunt Robin, and Tom's show. Cardos.
Tom Cardos. Yeah. Love Tom.
Yeah, and he had somebody who he wouldn't tell me who it was who does remote viewing, but they told me to stay out of this one area because I was being warned. They like me. But this one area was, I need to stay out of this area. So, and I stayed out of it. I heeded the warning and everything, and I haven't went back into it. I've been by it, but I haven't went in it. So, and I'm trying to look at what structures mean and things of that nature. And if I go and I feel, and I try to be open to what I'm starting to feel, because there's times where I'm out there, I feel the electricity, and I was like, it's a weird feeling. And I'm sure some of the co-hosts here, if they've been out there and if they felt that too, And it's bizarre. It's like a spidey sense, if you will. I hate to use that term, but
yeah,
it's really cool. But it's you gotta pay attention to those things, because there's been times when I've been out there and I've actually been ushered out of the woods. I felt like I was being followed, and rightfully so, because there was a really bad winter storm. It was for my own good, because there was a bad storm coming. I just think they're, you know, the more that they show me the type of better person I want to be, and, you know, and I've seen where I don't know if it's the DNR or stuff. What really saddens me is there was a really cool structure that they made. It was an arch with all this, like a shelter almost, and somebody went and cut it all down, and I almost was in tears, because I just looked at it like, man, that's, well, why would you even do that, you know? And it's, and I've talked to some DNR people, and they know they're out there, you know, I kind of hate when that happens. But there was a really nice teepee structure that had been around that had been cut down. I don't know if locals or if they'd done it. Well, what's funny is they went and built a bigger one. It's like,
yeah.
I'll show you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. This is like some really interesting stuff. It really is. And it looks like we're about at our, how can I put it? We're about at our witching hour. And I'd like to go back through one round of questions with everybody, starting with our Surgeon General, Dr. Trey Donaway. Do you have another question for Mark?
Mark, what is your next goal in your pursuit of Bigfoot? What do you want to see happen next?
I'm going to be a little on the silly side. I want a selfie with them. You know, I know that sounds crazy, but no, in the serious side, I want to be able to sit down with them and just listen, actually physically sit, and if nothing, if I have to sit and with my eyes closed and then come by and, you know, while I'm out there and just, you know, listen to what they have to better myself, but I want to be protective of them too, see what they need of me.
All right. I hope you can achieve that.
That would be great. Get that selfie, and we'll put it up on ScaryCast like you wouldn't believe. It'll go all over the world. I can promise you that. Absolutely. And Robin McCray, I'm going to call on you next. What question do you have for Mark?
Are you starting to be able to pick out more of the mindscape? Because you're getting it. And you and I have talked about that. You're getting it. I just don't know. Are you finding it now where it's easier to identify that that's what it is than it was before?
Yes. Especially when you've got two X's on the side of the road. I mean, what else is that saying to you, you know? It's like, you know, there's just certain things that you see, and somebody says, well, what's that say to you? I'm like, really? You got to ask me that? It's like, it looks like something I would do. Like, you know,
but
stay out of here. This is,
I know,
you know, but
I know you're picking up things. And, like, you know, you and I have talked about this before, whether it plays out in your mind as a picture or a video, if it's a feeling, just a sense of knowing all that you're getting, then you know it's not coming from you because you didn't know it before. So, is that getting easier to distinguish?
When I was out, when we were out Friday night, and because I said, I got to go take a drive. Let's go take a drive. And it was hot and everything. I could sense that I was being watched. And I was kind of like, because it was very, because I remember I'd sent you a picture and you had said that there's dogmen in that area. you know. And, yeah. and there's just a lot of different things that I see in this history, and they're trying to keep humans out for one reason or another. And, you know, those who they want to keep out. And I try to sense, you know, just the uneasiness in the air, or I'll listen to my surroundings and stuff, and you know, but again, try to let them know, hey, look, guys, I'm not here to harm you. I'm just here to really take it in, you know. So just be at ease. You know, it's okay. And I know there's going to be some. There are some out there that don't like outsiders, and I get
yeah.
that. But I'm trying to focus more on, is this an area, am I okay, is it okay for me to be here? Are you guys all right with that? Because, I'm all about their trust with me and their boundaries, because I don't want to break a trust, because, you know, it's just like with human beings, it's hard to patch back up, if at all. And, you know, and you want to watch those boundaries, because they, you know, they're a different type of being and people, and I don't want to overstep anything.
Yeah,
okay.
With them, it's all about respect.
Yep, that's great. And now, Devin Tate, do you have a question for Mark?
Hey, yeah, I'm actually, I think you said you're from Indianapolis, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so my cousin lives there. He's the one who, you know, when I was a kid, got me into everything paranormal and UFOs and ghosts and everything. So I'm just wondering, are there any events or organizations in Indianapolis that maybe I can recommend for him to get involved if he's interested in, you know, learning more about all this stuff locally?
He can check out Matt McGuire, Bigfooting Indiana, or myself, you know, if he wants to. I'm always looking for somebody that wants to, on a weekend that I can go. I'm not able to go all the time because I get my son every other weekend, and or if I'm working. I work for a drugstore company, and they keep us pretty busy. Especially in this time, even though we're kind of starting to slow down because of COVID and everything, but we're still working at least 9 hours a day. As far as the paranormal, I'm not really sure. I would just maybe look up Ghost Hunters of Indianapolis or paranormal. I'm not really. I don't really get into that. I have a friend of mine. I can ask him. You can, if you don't care to, or, you know, if you want, maybe if you have Messenger, message me, and I can contact my buddy of mine who's into that sort of thing. He goes to sanitariums and stuff. If he's wanting, you know, ghost hunting and things of that nature. I've actually, I've got a picture of a ghost in a TV face. I've actually seen some pretty interesting things. I know there's some areas here in Indiana or Indianapolis where you can go that have some interesting stories. Especially Morgan Monroe State Forest. I hear that the one of the cemeteries in there is haunted, and you better bring a gift because it's called the Lady in Black haunting, and then there's the Draper Cabin. I hear is highly haunted back in there. But me personally, I kind of stay away from that. So, and
cool.
Then
well, thank you.
Oh, and Story, Indiana. Story, Indiana. Other than that,
well,
the only thing
great.
I can tell you is, oh, sorry. Go ahead, John.
No. What I was going to say is we've also got Mark Johnson with us. He finally showed up. And so, Mark, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, well, I've been listening the last half hour, and really interesting guest. I like his stories, and I really like his approach to Bigfoot and his that approach and what he has to say. He can tell you he knows a lot. So my question to you is, what projects do you have on the go, and what's in it? What are you getting into for the future in Bigfoot research?
Well, Mark, I've really backed off getting into the, you know, technical side of it. You know, I one of the things I'd like to have is a FLIR. But like I said earlier, I don't know if you heard me say this, it just seems like I'm leaving more technical stuff at home. I don't mind taking pictures of the footprints and stuff. I don't do calls or things of that nature. I just take my flute and I play. If they like that, that's fine. You know, if they don't, they're going to let me know. But
what about for your own research? For your own research and understanding and awareness.
I just go out and I'll take like a voice recorder, maybe, and I've got just an old voice recorder, Panasonic, and I might turn that on just to hear. To replay, to make sure I'm hearing what I have, and I've thought about, I have a Tascam four track recorder that I need to buy me a boom mic, and if nothing else, just to listen to what it is they're saying. If they even, you know, they may not say nothing, you know, verbally, they may mind speak to you, but. It wouldn't be a bad thing to maybe take a tablet with me and write down what I'm feeling and what I'm sensing, just to maybe go back over and think about those things. But some of the stuff has kind of stayed with me. It's like it's imprinted, or at least they're allowing me to see it again. 'Cause they've been pretty kind and generous about that. So, but as far as moving forward in my own research, just getting out more, and I want to be careful. You know, there are some things out there that might lure. You know, you don't want to go too far deep into the forest by yourself. There are other forces out there that you need to be careful of, and you know. But as far as the foot is concerned, I pretty much stay where I'm comfortable at, and I think they're pretty, you know, as me and Robin has talked, I think they're pretty protective of me, you know, in all the years that I have, I've hiked, you know, in years past before I had a knee and a back injury, and I don't hike as much anymore, but in my earlier years, I used to hike pretty much with just a pocket knife and a couple of jugs of water and some trail mix, and that was pretty much it, and some, you know, a trowel and some presidential stationery, if you will. And I never felt like I was in danger, and that's in the last 30 years. And, of course, some things have changed in the last 10 to 15, but with unsavory types. But as far as Indiana is concerned, I've really never felt like I was in danger, and I've always been on the go, and I appreciate them looking out for me. So.
Well, that's really cool. Thanks for sharing. I really enjoyed listening to you tonight.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, that's great. And Kyler Smith, you're going to be our wrap-up guy. What's your question for Mark?
So I actually don't have a question. I just wanted to say that I really agreed with Mark and Robin, that I really enjoy the way you approach it. 'Cause I mean, I feel like that's how everyone should go into this. And it was a pleasure meeting you. I really wish in the future, you know, I get to meet you in person and go out with you guys to experience that. That's awesome.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And if I may, just to follow up with that, is folks that go out there, you know, when you go out, just go out with a good heart and a good mind and with the intent to bring something back as far as an experience and that you can share with people. And you know, like the old saying says, you know, take pictures and leave everything else there. And, you know, but the one thing that you got to remember is if you think you've ever come across a Sasquatch, you know, just kind of, just like a friend, you know, just kind of wave and say, hi, how you doing? And you know, you respect them and they'll respect you and they'll treat you in the same manner you treat them.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And that's something that Robin has certainly drilled into my head, you know, when I've been out there interacting with the Bigfoots, and, you know, that has been very important. So, Mark, I want to say thank you very much for being here on ScaryCast. It's been a lot of fun. You have a very interesting way of looking at things, which I think is very positive. And we'd like to have you back and, you know, talk to you about doing some other things. So I wanted to say thanks a lot for being on ScaryCast. I want to thank our co-hosts. I want to thank Dr. Trey Dunaway, Robin McCray, Devin Tate, Kyler Smith, Mark Johnston, and we've had a great time tonight. Now, next week will be the first Monday of the month, and we've got John LeMay, and we've got lots of crazy things going on with John LeMay, which is going to be fun. So we're going to have a great time. So I wanted to say thanks to everybody for being on here tonight on ScaryCast. We'll see you next week. Same bat time and same bat channel. The bat time is 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Bat Channel is on ScaryCast on Facebook. And just wanted to say thanks a lot and just wanted to remind everybody that we have now announced the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, which is October 1st and 2nd. And it's going to be a blast. We're finally back after COVID, and it's going to be fun. So I wanted to say thanks a lot to everybody. We'll see you next week on the one, the only ScaryCast. And thanks, everybody, for being here with us tonight. We appreciate you. Now, to everybody, tell goodbye.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. It's been a pleasure and an honor.
All righty.